Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hey, good afternoon, friends. It's Giff Briner here. Another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very faithful friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave and I are going to do our very best to talk to you some sensitive subjects. Yesterday, we were talking about forgiveness, and we talked about learning how to forgive. That was a very important, very, very important segment of our programming, and our objective, of course, is to help people live a better Christian life and to follow the words of Jesus as much as humanly possible and to get through this good old world with as less pain as possible. And forgiveness, my, as we started studying it and researching the subject, we found that it might be one of the most important ones. And we've talked about marriages, we've talked about relationships, we've talked about finances, we've talked about it, about every subject under the sun. Now I think we've maybe uncovered the most important. This forgiveness thing is really, really incredible. And we started talking yesterday about the 10 steps to forgiveness, and how we have to overcome these things. Now, if you missed that program yesterday, I'll first share with you that we will replay that again on Tuesday. And for those of you who may not have access to that program again, you can catch it on the internet, on our website. We have that program out there for many years. So you can look it up and find out. We're going to continue on that subject again today, with learning how to forgive. And we talked about the 10 steps, and I'm going to pick it up right where we left off. Dave, is that okay with you?
Fine.
I'm going to pick it up at step number 7, that we were talking about the ultimate miracle on learning how to show forgiveness. And step 7 says, show love. My, this is the most powerful word in the English language as far as I'm concerned. When you choose to forgive someone, you're in total control. That is how you're able to show them love, no matter what they have done to you. How do you show love to the person who hurt you? Well, it depends on your situation, really. But it can be as simple as a smile, a nice friendly hi, a little hello in the elevator, maybe just a Christmas card or birthday card. It might be an invitation to a lunch or a gift for a certain accomplishment. You decide what you can do to show love. Consider the neighbor who continued to shovel the snow off of the old cantankerous Mrs. Miller sidewalk. He didn't need to do it, and she certainly was not deserving of his kindness, considering it all that she had to say were negative things about the neighbor's teenager son. Well, the neighbor did it because he forgave her and wanted to show love. You know, part of showing love is helping the other person to be free. Helping the other person to be free of anxieties or free of pain or free of retaliation. For example, let's say Mrs. Miller is your neighbor, and she realized how much pain she has been. And since you are a neighbor, and you can't just simply ignore it, well, when you talk, you can show her love by helping her feel good about herself. If she apologizes for being a grumpy lady, she might be afraid that you will repay her for her unkindness. Ease her fears by giving her your phone number and letting her know that you will always be there if she needs you. Or you might tell her that you'll be cleaning her sidewalk after the next big snowstorm. In whatever you say, help her to be free. By showing love, you are giving the offending person permission to change. And that's what you want, isn't it? That is an important part of forgiveness, showing them love.
The next step is to pray for them. And I can see some of you that say, oh, here we go again. They're going to pray. Prayer is not something to laugh about or scoff about. Prayer is important. And whether you're a Christian or not, and whether you want to laugh at us and turn us off, that's your problem. But praying for them is really where it all begins. By praying for the person who hurt you, you're pushing your forgiveness to a higher level. And this is good for you. It's necessary. The Bible says, pray for those who persecute you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Why in the world should we pray for those who persecute us? This is not an action in futility or a task for doing it grudgingly. We should pray for the very people who hurt us, because forgiveness is a practical issue as well as a spiritual issue. You know, when I got married, Judy began to tell me about her family. She told me long before we got married, but I wasn't around Judy. She lived in California, and I lived in Pennsylvania. And the only phoning was seemed to be such was so expensive then. Everybody didn't have a cell phone. There's when they were few and far between. And so we wrote letters. And you can't say a lot in a letter. So she was pretty quiet about her dad. Her dad was wanting to take the family to St. Louis from California, the long drive. And they packed up their car and took everything they owned and got down to the edge of California, to a little town called Banning, and they all went to sleep in a motel. When they woke up in the morning, where's Dad? He's not here. Our car's not outside. Look, there's nothing left. He packed it all up. How did we sleep so sound? And, you know, they all sat there stunned for a few hours, trying to think, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? We don't have no place to go. Dad left us with nothing. And pretty soon they got the vision that maybe Mom should call the campground, the church campground. And sure enough, they had an open cottage. And they said, we'll come and get you. And you can come here and live here for as long as you need. They were living in a tent for a couple of years. How can you forgive when you're living like that? And you think, wow, where's Dad now? He's in his third wife, having a ball somewhere in a country. And we are here in a tent. That's got to be a frustration on any family. Mm-hmm. I tell you this, but 45 years later, they still have not been forgiven. They still have not heard Dad say anything. Oh, he took a couple times to come home, and he asked for forgiveness. He cried in front of them. 2 days later, he's gone again. He'd call back 3 weeks later. Hey, I'm sorry. I left. I didn't mean to do that. Would you forgive me? I'm going to be different this time. And, you know, in 4 or 5 days, he was packed up and gone again for 45 years.
Oh, my.
I married a girl who needed to know about forgiveness.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know how Judy finally, and I lived with her for a long time, always hearing the phone calls to her mother and her sister and her brother, and they'd all be talking about Dad. And then Judy said, how do I learn how to forgive my dad?
Yeah.
And she finally, somebody said to her, Judy, you will know you have forgiven your dad when you can pray for him. And when you can accept him and tell the Lord, bless my dad.
Wow.
Judy said, well, I haven't been able to do that. I've been mad at him for years. I can't say, Lord, bless him, bless him, bless him. Then she said, well, that's the way it's going to be with you, dear Judy. You got to learn how to pray for your dad, and you got to learn how to forgive him. And, you know, the day came when Judy came with tears in her eyes. said, you know, sweetheart, today, for the first time in all these years, I was able to ask God to bless my dad.
Wow. That's wonderful.
And life has been different ever since.
Really?
Yes. When her dad died, we were in somewhere traveling with the RVs, and mm-hmm. we heard the news that her dad died, and she said, I'm a long way from California. I'm not going to the funeral. I'm not doing that. I don't want to break that open all the way. And, you know, we all talked to her as a family. We said, we're buying you a ticket, and you are going out there. And Judy went to the funeral. Best thing she ever did.
Mm-hmm.
People talked because everybody was saying what a fine man he was, and she was sitting there saying, well, who are they talking about? Mm-hmm. It surely couldn't be the man in the casket.
Yeah.
But life is different now, and I think Judy has learned how to forgive anybody and to pray for them and to ask God to bless them.
Wow.
Have you ever prayed for the one that left you? You're listening today, and you're saying, ah, oh, Dave, that I've been through that already. And I'm not going to ask God to bless them. And maybe forgiveness is not the ultimate gift. Maybe it's that kind of a phone call that says, Dad, I ask the Lord to bless you today, and I hope that you receive what he brings to your way because of our prayers. That's a little bit personal, but maybe that's where we live.
David, that's exactly what our notes are talking about here. You got to pray for them. That's what we said. That was step number 8. And you probably gave the best example that we could possibly come up with to how important it is to pray for these people. As soon as your wife was able to do that and pray for her father, her worldly cares dissipated, and she was more comfortable, and she was a better off person all around because of her ability to pray for her father. That is just a wonderful example of the point we're trying to make here when we say step number 8 is to pray for these people who have done you wrong. Thank you, my friend. Let's face it, when you choose to forgive someone, you take certain steps that are entirely down to earth, such as verbalizing your forgiveness and looking the way to cover the offense. But your self-determination is strong, and it might be more to it than that. I mean, it isn't the whole answer. Prayer reveals what's in the heart. So pray for these people. At the spiritual level, you are dealing with your soul, your conscience, and your communication with God. There is no way you can hide unforgiveness at this level. You can't do it. If your forgiveness is genuine, and you know it, and there is something else you can do that you need to deal with, then you will know it. Prayer reveals what's in your heart. In addition, by praying for that person, the person who hurt you, that is, you are giving God freedom to work in your personal life. You just never know what might happen, just like you were talking about your wife. But it's not your responsibility anyway. Would it be okay with you if your employer who stole $10,000 from you started his own business and immediately turned a profit? Would it be okay with you if your ex-boyfriend got married before you do? Would it be okay with you if the drunk driver who killed your daughter gets out of jail? Would it be okay with you if your boss who fired you got promoted? Would it be okay with you if the individual who left your church starts his own church and a lot of people left to join him?
That talks to me like, hey, you got to have a lot of money if you're going to start answering all these deals, and you're going to spend a lot more time praying than you ever did before. I mean, 5 minutes is a big time for America to pray. But if you ask to take these 6 or 7 things you talked about, it's going to take you a long time to pray through.
That's exactly right.
And when we say pray for them, that's not just a little line. That's probably the most important line we're talking about, although all 10 of these things that we're talking about are so ultra important.
They are.
Not only love, but prayer. I pray that God will help us. We got a couple more here. Why don't why don't you jump in and see what else we got here?
All right. Yeah, I'll look at my little list here. Number nine, step number nine. You know, we talked about love, and then we talked about prayer. How about look for reconciliation if possible? Boy, that's a big one, isn't it? Having a relationship restored through forgiveness is absolutely wonderful. Futures are changed for the better. A peace abounds. Joy fills the air. And hope again is kindled in people's hearts. Through reconciliation is the idea. You cannot force it to happen. Do pray for it. But don't just put pressure on the other person. That is because it takes one person to forgive, but it takes two people to mend a relationship.
The ultimate miracle, that's what it is.
Yeah.
The ultimate miracle. Some people think a miracle is only because your arm heals or your heart heals.
Boy, it's more than that.
When you can think of a reconciliation and you prayed for this and this was worked out, that is probably one of the biggest miracles that we need in our world. America needs today reconciliation where we forgive ourselves. How many people have left their church and are trying to find another church and spend weeks going from here and there because they just were not willing to say, I forgive.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Wow. That is a wow.
Yes. I like the example that you cited yesterday. Maybe you want to give just a brief review of that point again. What you did when you were pastoring your church with the bread. It'll be a refresher for those people who heard your program yesterday, but I thought that was so powerful that maybe it might be worth repeating at least an abbreviated version of that services that you've completed in the past about forgiveness inside the church. That really was quite meaningful to me.
Hey, I'm willing to talk about that again.
Can you? Good.
We have one more step that we need to take. And maybe you can finish that off for us. Where are we on the time? I don't even watch the time anymore.
Yeah.
Until the engineer yells at us.
When he starts screaming at us, we know it's the time. All right. Well, the last step, let's talk about the 10th step, and that the last one, is to be able to move on. That's the key thing. If you've done all of these things, you know, you've loved them, you've prayed for them, and, you know, your reconciliation is in the mix. It's time to move on now. You have to put it behind you. This day has come. It is finally time. You have forgiven, you've released, and you've prayed for the person who hurt you, but you've done your best to be restored. Now it's time to just move on. The person who hurt you was in the past. If he or she won't come with you to the future, then move on and don't look back. Walk boldly forward into your bright future because you deserve to be there. The example that you cited about your wife and after she was able to forgive and pray for her father and forgive him might be the best example I could possibly come up with and how free you are when you decide to move on. Decide what you want and focus your energy on getting there. You are free. You're going to do it well. And you're going to do it within yourself. Are you going to get back to college? Or are you going to write a book you've always wanted to write? Are you going to get remarried? Are you going to move to another city? Are you going to have another child? Are you going to start your own business? Are you going to keep doing what you've always been doing? Well, you just have to move on. The point is do something and let these nasty things be behind you. Forget about it. It's done. Move forward. What is it that you most desire? Fix your sights on your goal and go for it. Life is too short to spend another minute being minimized in any way. If you need to throw away photos, sell the house, burn the letters in order to cut ties with your past, well, then that's what you do. This is your time. You have completed the steps to forgiveness. Now move on. But have you really forgiven? How do you know when you have forgiven the person who hurt you? Before you start doing an intensive self-evaluation, remember what forgiveness is and what it is not. Let me recap those points, and then I want my friend to close our program today because I think it's a very valuable one. What forgiveness is: acknowledging the hurt, keeping your eyes open, showing mercy, keeping no records of wrong, living free from bitterness, taking responsibility, being honest about reality. And it's an attitude and it's a lifestyle. Now, what forgiveness is not? What is forgiveness is not? It's not approval. It's not forgetting. It's not justifying. It's not an obligation. It's not giving in. It is not a reconciliation alone. It is not rehiring. It's not just trust. It's not getting even. Now, with that said, here are a few very important questions you have to ask yourself. Have you really forgiven someone if you remember what happened? Have you really forgiven if you won't let the lying, cheating, abusive person back into your life? And let's face it, since forgiveness is not an approval, then standing your ground for what is right does not mean you have unforgiveness in your heart. You have to stand for what is correct. Have you really forgiven if you won't trust the person who hurt you? Since forgiveness is not trust, then keeping your guard up does not mean you have an unforgiveness in your heart. So all these are important issues. When you know you have forgiven, when it comes right down to it, the absolute best way to determine if you've forgiven someone is to check the fruit. If you wonder what type of tree is growing in the orchard, you simply look at the fruit. Apples dangling from the branches will immediately answer any question you might have. So it is with forgiveness. Here's the fruit test. Have you seen, felt, or enjoyed, experienced anyway in your life since you've chosen to forgive? Have you experienced peace, more joy, more health, more strength, more freedom, more power, more gratefulness, the restoration, the growth? Hey, the future is brighter. You have more money in your pocket. Time together with family is now better than ever. A clean conscience. You have hope for the future. A better relationship with God. You know, the list goes on and on and on. Have you found any of these in your life? Most likely you have. And the more than one, in fact. What is it that forgiveness looks like, smells like, tastes like? Well, that's the fruit of forgiveness. Enjoy it and do it your very best. David, my friend, would you please give us a story?
You asked me to repeat it.
Yes,
you listed, then it didn't happen. You still want that? Two minutes?
Yes, I do. Yeah, if you could.
In my church, I felt like everybody was frustrated with their families, with each family. They had bickering and fighting and sadness. And so I designed a message on forgiveness, and then I went to the store and I bought loaves of bread and cut each piece, each slice, four ways. And so you had a piece of bread and you had one, two, three, four, and you carried them with you. And we went around the church as people stood to their feet and said, okay, just tackle the next person that you meet and give him an opportunity to take a piece of your bread and you take a piece of his. Doesn't have to be, but just a little piece. And then when you hold your bread up with his or hers, you just say, is everything okay with us? And what do we need to talk about to be forgiven and to go on with life? I watched my whole church, 600 people, walked the aisles and through the pews and at the altar and up on the platform, and everybody had their bread. And when they run out of that piece, they went and got another piece. People were going from person to person. And whoever you come and get in touch with, that was the one you were going to talk about, eat their bread and they eat yours. If they didn't eat yours and they just wanted to run away, you know, that's what it was all about. You be sure to take my bread, I'll take yours, and then we can talk and pray about it. I saw people praying for each other all over the church. It was the most amazing service. And the conclusion, when everybody walked out, I felt like my church had healed itself in one day. And maybe that's what you need to do after hearing all this stuff about forgiveness. You could heal yourself and your family all in one precious day. Why don't you try it?
Hallelujah. Thank you, my friend. Your words are well spoken. However, we've run out of time. Once again, Dave, we have to say goodbye. Gift Briner here, thanking our engineer, Jerry Ross. Jeremy does a tremendous job for us, and we thank you for your efforts. Bye-bye for now.
I'm proud to be here. Always happy to give my information from my heart. I'll see you next time. Dave Colonin here, chaplain of WPFG. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.